This Sunday, we mark Mission Sunday, and Pope Francis has told the whole church to make October especially an extraordinary month of missionary work. The Second Vatican Council taught us that the very nature of the church is missionary. We go back to the time of the Ascension, before our Lord returned to heaven. He told his apostles, "You go out, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Trinity, teach everything that I have commanded you, and know I am with you until the end of the world." Those apostles then, filled with the tremendous gifts of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, went out. They preached that gospel to a pagan Roman Empire that at times was very hostile. St. Peter, we know, eventually traveled and was martyred in Rome. He's the first pope. St. James went as far as Spain. And then we have St. Thomas going as far as India, just following the Roman trade routes. We have parishioners in our own parish that are from India, and their families go back to that area where St. Thomas preached, and their parish even goes back to the mission that St. Thomas had founded. Now, how did this conversion come about? Well, granted, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit, but they were preaching a gospel message that provided a truth, a way of life that was different from what the Roman Empire could offer. They offered the gospel good news, not the news of the social status, the political status, or even we could say the fake news. They offered something that inspired those people to convert. Well, we think of our own country. We know that in the 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Never forget, Columbus was a very devout man. When he wrote in his log before setting sail, he talked about that his goal, his mission, was to bring faith to the peoples and bring about conversion. When he saw a sight of land, the whole crew on the Santa Maria, named after our Blessed Mother, sang the Gloria. When he first named the land, Santo Domingo, Holy Savior. And we go on from there. But in our own country, even in the early 1500s, the Spanish explorers and missionaries came to Florida, to the Southwest. This past September, I was privileged to give a retreat for the priests of Gallup, New Mexico. One of the priests there, 40 years ordained, could trace his family history back to those early 1500s and the Spanish explorers. Also, I visited missions that were built in the early 1600s, and they're still being used as Catholic churches. How beautiful. I'm sure many of you, like myself, have been to some of the missions in California that St. Junipero Serra founded. He did that to not only provide for the spiritual welfare of the colonists, but to be places to teach the faith. These missionaries learned the native languages. They produced the little catechisms, the books of the little Bible stories. They also taught the Native Americans things like agricultural methods. Oftentimes, their primitive methods left them in starvation. Modern methods enabled them to feed themselves. They provide the hospitals, the other educational resources for these native peoples. So granted, it doesn't mean that everything was perfect, but don't believe the revisionist history that says everything was bad. These missionaries brought faith. We think of the French who came to Canada. And there, the Jesuits in particular worked among the Indians in upstate New York, Vermont, parts of Maine. Here, again, producing the little texts, learning the languages. They suffered incredible tortures at times because the Mohawks were very hostile towards this missionary work. Yesterday we celebrated the Feast of the North American Martyrs. St. Isaac Jogues, for instance, had two of his fingers bitten off by the Mohawks as he was being tortured. He was ransomed. He went back to France to recover. The problem was he couldn't say Mass. priests have to have perfect hands. So the Holy Father had to give special permission. And Pope Urban VIII said, any man who has shed his blood in such a way ought to be offered the sacrifice which gives us the body and blood of Christ. St. Isaac Jogues went back, and someone asked him, why are you going back to that place where you were tortured? And he said, my mission is not finished. Shortly after he arrived back in the New World, he was again captured. This time he was martyred. However, one of his great converts, St. Kateri Tekakwitha, who dedicated her life to bringing the gospel message to her native peoples. Interestingly, too, at my previous parish back in the late 90s, we had a principal at our grade school. He was Mohawk Indian. He grew up on the reservation in upstate New York, and his family could trace their lineage of faith back to those Jesuit missionaries. The 13 colonies, being British, were a little different because technically they were Church of England. That was the recognized established Church of England. Some colonies, like Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, had religious freedom, but that soon ended with the reign of Oliver Cromwell, and then especially with William and Mary, who imposed very serious test acts. So religious freedom was lost. The church continued to exist in an underground way. Nevertheless, in the mid-1700s, little churches in Virginia, little, you could say, underground catacomb-like churches were established, like in Alexandria, the predecessor to eventually St. Mary's Parish. Jesuits would cross from Maryland secretively to offer Mass. One priest we know was martyred in Virginia, Father Christopher Plunkett. He was arrested, tried for saying Mass in Virginia, and his sentence was being taken to a deserted island in the Chesapeake Bay somewhere and left to starve to death. A martyr for the faith. Of course, after the Revolutionary War, we gained religious freedom. St. Mary's in Alexandria is the first Catholic church in our state. But my brothers and sisters, I could go on. But the importance here is we have people who dedicated their lives to handing on the faith, not just to those who had no faith, but to those who were in their families. They kept the faith alive. And this is the challenge for us. When we think about Mission Sunday, yes, we support the missionaries that are working throughout the world to bring the gospel message to people, but we also have to remember our own role. Each of us is a missionary. We live in a difficult age. I was looking at some statistics, and one is 22% of Americans consider themselves nones, N-O-N-E-S, because they have no religious affiliation, none at all. And that includes atheists, agnostics, and so on. And then for every person that enters the Catholic Church, six leave for some reason. And then 33% of Catholics come to Mass. Two-thirds do not on Sunday. And only 33% actually believe that the Holy Eucharist really is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Now, we could think of many reasons why we've reached this point. Turmoil of the 1960s and 70s, which I well remember. The aftermath of Vatican II, when things sort of went crazy. Mass sometimes was more like a circus than it was a sacrifice. And things also went berserk as far as some of the teachings or how teachings were interpreted. We have the teachings now that defy our faith concerning the dignity of the person, sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, sanctity of the family. And we could go on and on and on. And consider what your children are exposed to today in the schools, the public schools. You need to investigate this because an ideology is being forced upon them that attacks what we believe about human dignity, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage. And this goes all the way to kindergarten with books that are being read to your children. It's very frightening. It's really the methodology of evil. Adolf Hitler had two very important quotes worth remembering. One is, "He who holds the youth controls the future." Second is, "Tell a lie that's big enough and often enough, and people will believe it." Hard to believe that a very small 2% minority in our country has taken control of what's being taught to our children. The abnormal is becoming the normal. Be that as it may, we might feel like strangers in a strange land. So did the missionaries. So your mission is to your church and to your home. For you parents, your home has to be that sanctuary. So what to do? As our gospel tells us today, pray. Take time for family prayer. Pope St. John Paul II always said, families that pray together, stay together. A statistic from the Family Research Research Council that I tell all couples I'm preparing for marriage is this. We live in a society where the divorce rate is 50% in 5 years. Tragic. And a society where many people no longer even get married. But if families pray together each day and they go to church every Sunday, it drops to 5%. The difference is God. So take time to pray as a family. Grace at meals, bedtime prayers, say the family rosary. This is a good way to ask our Blessed Mother for her maternal care to keep us close to Christ. Also, parents, something my mom always did. When your kids are leaving the house for school, bless them. Granted, you can't bless the way I do as a priest, but you can give a blessing. My mom still does. When I leave her house to come back to the rectory, she always says, "May God bless you," and she makes the sign of the cross. But that's important because we need to protect our young people. Besides that prayer, read the Bible. Bible stories are good. With little ones, bedtime story, read a little children's Bible story. As a family, read a Bible passage. Maybe read the readings before you come to Mass. But in all, let the Word of God enlighten you. What does St. Paul say in our second reading today? He says, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God's Word to us. It's a living Word. And he says it's useful for teaching, refutation, correction, training in righteousness. Well, if we have God's Word, why would we believe anyone else's Word that contradicts God's Word? God's Word is truth. God's Word gives life. God's Word shows us the way. To help us, we also have a church that teaches. We don't have in the Bible answers for everything we face today. Jesus never said anything about nuclear war. He didn't say anything about bioethics issues. But the truth's here, and the church, guided by the Holy Spirit, teaches that truth, applying it to today's world. Jesus told the apostles at the Last Supper, "I will give you the Spirit of truth to enlighten you so that you can teach." And that's why our church teaches. Again, who would we listen to? I would rather listen to the church, those bishops, the Pope, than listen to the news. Think of who we listen to. But then also, one other step. We all have someone in our society, in our families that has gone astray. I do. They don't practice the faith anymore. Very sad. Well, our Lord in the Gospel reminds us again, pray for them. Persevere and pray. A good bishop once told St. Monica over her wayward son, St. Augustine. She prayed so hard. And the good bishop said, "Anyone who has shed so many tears, God will not be deaf to. He will grant the prayers." Now, God will, he does not force. He pours forth grace. And that grace comes. And just as a drop of water over maybe centuries can bore a hole through a stone, so can God's grace eventually crack the hardest heart. So my brothers and sisters, we have a mission. So we aren't going to curse the darkness. We're going to be a bright light. And we look around us, and we should see there's a lot of light in this world. That's why we're here. But we're also called to carry out the light to others. To help us do that, this Sunday, you'll notice on the entrance tables, two little books, one per family. One is just a nice Catholic prayer book, so a different, all kinds of prayers that you can use in your family. Secondly, a little booklet called Letter to a Suffering Church by Bishop Barron. A parishioner gave this to me. I read it. It deals with the situation in our that we're in. It's honest, but also it's very hopeful. Take time to read it. Might take you a couple of hours. But this is important, to fortify ourselves so that we can be truly the missionaries in our world today. Our gospel passage closed with a very sad verse in a way. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth?" May we say today, "Yes, Lord, you'll find faith in me, and I will help with great joy and conviction bring that faith to others." Don't curse the darkness. Be the light. May God bless you.